Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 320. And if you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways that you can receive one, audio tape or a CD, whichever you prefer. It's postage and handling free as well, free of charge. And we have music today, as usual, if we have time for little Hitler's speech. Which shows that when he pulled away from the United Nations, the country became strong again, and they got into it because they started murdering God's chosen people, the Jews, and also blacks, and also the street homosexual. It's so odd, you know, that these people tried to take the homosexual tag off of them by murdering some homosexuals. And so it isn't the Jews that are attempting to rule the world, not even at all. It is the Vatican, its world government, and the media that have deceived you folks out there. And if you have the inner qualities, all the different things that I was talking to you about that you must have of Christ, if all these things are living within you, inside you, inner you, the inner you, the inside man, the spirit that's going to go on to live in eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in the pit of hell, in the lake of fire, if all the things of Christ are dwelling in you, you are in Christ. And you have taken him as your life, and he is your life, and he is eternal life. If you don't have Christ, if you haven't taken him to be your inner life, then you are outside of the experience of Christ as life. And on top of this, no matter how good you are, apparently and outwardly, you still need to check with your inner sense. Even if you're a Christian, you are in Christ, taking him as life only when you take him into the inside of you, the inner flowing, the glowing of Christ. His law, which regulates you, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you'll have the joy and a deeper peace than you ever thought was you were able to have. It's a peace that passes all understanding. If you have Christ, he is the Prince of Peace. And you have his peace, he says, I give unto you. This is the right way for anyone that is a Christian to experience Christ as their life. You can read the Bible all day long, but if you don't take Christ as your life, well, then you're not really saved. You can read a menu all day long, but if you don't take the food, eventually you'll starve to death. Very few Christians are willing in the inner life that are living in the inner life. But many Christians are living in an outward way. They don't have Christ inside doing his work. They won't let him do that. If you're going to be a Christian, you must be a Christian in the inner life. You must always be learning to take Christ as your life. Christians need to forget about themselves and take Christ as their life by checking it out to see that they have the inner flowing of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word in them. The inner flowing of Christ in them. The inner law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that regulates and gives them joy and this deep peace beyond understanding. Now, we have some Bible scriptures today, and we have a little bit that the Lord wants me to tell you, some of Hitler's speeches, where the, and we have a great message. And right now, let's go to the throne. We've got Bible reading, too. And testimonies from outside that have come in to us that I really love. So let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this service that we all may be edified. Lord, take over my mouth. Let everything that I say be direct from the throne of God, from you, Father, because let the things that are in me of you emanate from me into the hearts, the minds, and souls of all those out in the world and those that are in the church, and also to those that believe them to be, themselves to be in the church, but they're really not. They're not in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about a building where people hold, quote, church services, unquote, but those that are in the real church, which is your body. Your body is the church. We must be in that church, not some denominational church, Father. We need to be in your body, experiencing the eternal, immortal, everlasting life that is found only in you in this world. Lord, we pray that the things that are going on in the world, the violence, all the persecution, the violence, these threats from people out of the nation, and that the nation here will become again, once again, the United States of America instead of part of the world Vatican, one world government, and the church media. Lord, that they'll be saved. And that they'll come out of there and tell the people of the world, like John Peeler did, the different things that are happening in this world today, that and the cause of it, as John Peeler did. He stated that he was a former FBI, BATF, and DEA officer, was involved with the federal building being blown up, Waco, and the World Trade Center, and stated that it was just a bunch of supposed to be U.S. government men and women that planted these bombs and dynamite sticks and caps throughout the buildings and blew them up. And they went to Waco to have a turkey shoot. They had they absolutely went there knowing that they weren't going to arrest those people. David Koresh, they went there to kill him. Same thing with Jim Jones' camp. They shot him in the back of his head. And they shot the people, the government did. Not the U.S. government, the people that are saying that they're U.S. government, but they're really Roman Empire troops that have infiltrated into our government and are doing all the evil things that this government is doing, such as taking the Bible away. That Satan doesn't want people to read the Bible because they know when you do, you're going to be able to see the things that are happening in this world today are definitely from Satan. That's why Satan wants to take your Bibles away from you. And if you let him do it, you're deliberately allowing your soul to spend eternity in hell. And you have no confidence in the power of God to keep Christ living in you and strong in you, that you're able to keep all the commandments. Lord, we ask that you unveil your word to the people in the world today and to the even deeper walk in the Lord for the people that are truly your people, so that the church will be saved and those that are lost out in the world will come into the true church, which is your body. Lord, that the kingdom of heaven will be built up here on earth to the fullness of the stature of Christ, that then the end can come. Lord, we ask and we pray that it be done quickly, for no flesh will be able to endure it. It isn't, as you said yourself. Therefore, do it, Father, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have Figs Bringman now to sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Get ready to go home. Get low. So God's sweet chariot and the Holy Spirit will take you home forevermore. Swing low, sweet chariot. Get low before the Lord. For the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, we must know that God is our Creator and that we are just human beings made out of the dirt of the ground, and the Lord came to this earth to redeem us, to save us, because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not. That's the way the story goes. That's the way the Lord tells it. That's exactly what happened, and therefore we have to humble ourselves. Those two did not humble themselves before the Lord. He stated that there was only one sin in the world at that time, and that was to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all the other trees it could eat from. And it, the Lord wanted them, as he does us, to eat only from the tree of life. You wonder who the tree of life is. Or the tree of life is the Word of God, which is also, you can read John 1:1, and you'll see that that tree of life, that Jesus, is the Word of God. And believe on the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe not in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe not in the Word of God, the King James Version, or the original text, and you will not be saved. There's no way that you'll be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven whatsoever if you don't. And the reason that the Lord called me, and the reason that he's that I've gone through such persecution, is because that there's a devil in the world as well. And the devil hates for you to hear the things that I'm saying, and that's why I've been persecuted. I've been slandered. I've been put in prison. I've been stoned with stones and stomped because I put the Word of God out. Just like the Apostle Paul, I've went through many of the different things that he did, and Jesus himself. And the Lord said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. But what choice do we really have, those of us that have a brain in our head and those of us that are hinged to collected with the Lord into his body? We know that I put in 42 years already, and I don't want to lose the things that I've acquired with him for any price whatsoever. If it takes me being stomped some more, if it takes whatever they want to throw at me, I'm going to do my best to get the Word of God to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit keeps leading me to do these things. Now, swing down, sweet chariot. He has to come down to those of us that are down to earth, walking in the Holy Spirit, walking in the Lord. Those of us that have the inner life of Christ living in us, with us. He's not just with us, he's in us now. And when I say the Lord Jesus is in us, so is his Father, and so is the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And we have peace that passes all understanding. We're in peace because we know that the Prince of Peace is in us. And what does he have? Most people in the world don't have any idea what peace is. Peace is the knowledge that if the breath goes out of your body, if a terrorist or a drive-by shooter shoots you, or if they blow you up while you're in a mall, or if some disastrous disease hits, that you know you've got such peace because, you know, when you leave this body that keeps deteriorating every day, you're going to be right with the Lord, and you're going to be there with him forever, and there won't be any more persecutions, lies told about you, or slander, or anything like that. And the hateful people, we pray that they'll be saved, because at one time many of us were hateful. We hated people, we hated the life we were living, we became bitter, many of us, just like I did. I was very bitter with anyone that would try to stop me from doing what I wanted to do in the world. There were means and ways that I knew how to take care of them. But now that we're saved, these people that are slandering us and stoning us and threatening to kill us and kidnap our children and all the things that they want to do, and they want to run us out of town, this is a joke because... you know, we live on this planet as well as they do, and they're the ones that are dangerous, they're the ones that are criminals, those are the ones that are threatening death. We've never done that to anybody. They're wicked, and they call themselves Christians, and they are not Christians at all, because it's obvious that they don't read the Bible. If they did, they'd find out that the things that they're saying are of the devil. And they'd know that they were of the devil. And I'm sure that when they look in the mirror, they frighten themselves from time to time, because I know that some of my brothers in the Lord now stated that they looked in the mirror when they were unsaved, and all of a sudden the flash came before them that they were actually possessed with the spirit of the devil. And the only way that people can know these things is if they pick up the Bible and read it, and then they'll realize how evil they really are and how necessary it is for them to get before the Lord. They need to get low so that when the chariot of God, which is the Holy Spirit, will live in them. And then if the Holy Spirit, the sweet chariot that rose Jesus from the dead, that chariot, sweet chariot, lives in you, you also should be raised up from the dead on the last day. And then when the angels come to get you, that sweet chariot, the Holy Spirit, will pick you right up and transport you right up into the kingdom of heaven within a flash of a second. And you'll be so happy that you lived the life, you allowed Christ to live his life in and through you. You'll be so happy that you received the resurrection from your dead, sinful, evil, wicked lives. And let the resurrection of the Lord, the sweet chariot, come into you and resurrect you from your dead life of sinfulness and hatefulness and bitterness and all these different things, so that you'll be able to live in peace with Christians on the earth, and that you'll realize that Christians are not trying to take over any town. We're not trying to take over the United States or the world or anything like that. But because our world, the world that we're going to be living in eternally, is heaven. And this is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through down here. And we just want to walk that kind of life. You know, the phony people, you say, I know Christians that are phony. Well, I do too. But we pray for them as well, because what good is it to hate them? They're already hated. What you need to do is pray for them so that they become like Christ, that they'll have the resurrected life living in them of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they'll be free from their old way of life. They don't have to keep looking for power to be able to be the very way that they wish that they were. The Lord is ever-present. He's right here. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's on the scene everywhere. And all you have to do is just ask him to come into you. And the way of life that you're living now is not really life. It's death, according to the Word of God. You need to be resurrected out of that life so that you can have the life of Christ living in you and all the things, all the benefits that are in Christ. When that happens, you would love to have the power of Jesus within themselves. But they don't want to depend on a power that is outside of themselves. But people out there, those of you that God has sent me to witness to, realize that you have no power of your own except to the power of Satan to sow evil, to sow hatred into people's hearts, and to rally hateful people together so that they can do evil, murderous, hateful things to people. But you don't have any power in you to do anything other than that. But the power that is within us can only be as strong as we are. And we already know that there's no power in ourselves whatsoever except satanic power, which kills, maims, murders, destroys your own body. And you see, there's no real blessing on your life. Of course, God blesses all of us with food and water, and he lets you breathe for a while, all of us. But there's so much more that the Lord has. You're absolutely powerless. I'm powerless without the Lord living in me. In all the four Gospels, the Lord God demonstrated his power in so many different ways. But the major example that we see is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Will you be resurrected from the dead by the Spirit, the sweet chariot, which is the Holy Spirit living in you? Or do you have the Holy Spirit in you too? So that the the Spirit of God just comes down like a sweet chariot and is already in you and pulls you right up into heaven, right into his arms. Praise God.
Amen.
There isn't anything that you can have in this world that can surpass that, because you have no peace, no happiness, no joy, no Christ, no resurrection, nothing in you. And it doesn't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference at all if you had all the money in the world. What good is that money? You're not going to take a penny of whatever you have with you. You're not going to take your favorite dress or your favorite automobile or anything. It's all going to go somewhere else after you leave this world. And that could happen any time. So the Lord is wanting me to be as merciful as he is to tell you these things. He didn't send me out into the world to be any different than he was. He loves your soul, but he doesn't love the things that you're doing. He loves you. But, you know, if you absolutely refuse to let the Lord live in you, and if you refuse to die out to your old hateful ways and the ways of... And if you're just saying, well, our church is the best and all that, if you're in Christ, yes, you have the best church in the world, but denominations are not the best church in the world. Only when you're in the body of Christ are you in the right church. Amen?
Amen.
Only when the sweet chariot lives inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit, are you in the right church. The body of Christ is the church. The body of Christ is the New Jerusalem. You have to be in the New Jerusalem before the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. Otherwise, you're not in the New Jerusalem. You have to be living with Christ right now. You have to be living in him, and he has to be living in you with his Father and the Spirit. And all the different things that are in Christ must be in you now for you to be able to experience Christ fully, and to experience the joy, the happiness, the peace, and the lack of, there's absolutely no fear. Because you know when the Lord is in you that you can be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will fear no evil, because, you know, if you're in a dead-end alley and there's a bunch of people that are coming to murder you or something, you'll feel no evil whatsoever, because you know that when the breath is out of your body, you'll be with Christ. When I saw Christ in a pure black room, I could not see my hand in front of me. It was so pitch dark. But anywhere from 12, 1 or 2 in the morning, somewhere in there, to maybe 3, he appeared in front of me. It was like, and I saw him, and I thought he was taking me on. The greatest disappointment of my entire life was when he put his hand forward and he said, no, not now. And I could see there were no print. There was no print of a nail in his hand, because in heaven everything is perfect. There's nothing. Now Susie saw Jesus, and she saw that he had nail-pierced hands. The Lord appears to people many different ways. There's also Bessie, if you've ever read her literature, her testimony, the piece of literature that we have of her, she saw hell. The Lord took her down into hell, and she saw Jesus hanging on the cross down there, because she said, I've been baptized, Lord, into the Protestant churches and into the Catholic Church, but she says, I didn't want to come here. I was baptized. And he said, baptism will not save your soul. Just baptism alone. Here's what it's all about, Bessie. He showed her him hanging on a cross with nail-pierced hands and feet. He also appeared in the book of Revelation as a lamb. He didn't in that revelation have nail-pierced hoofs. He just appeared as a lamb. Amen?
Amen.
Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So the Lord of it appears to many people many different ways. Whatever will get to you. What got to me was the way that the Lord, I just thought I was going to be with him. And before this happened, I thought that the most frightening thing in the world would be when I see the Lord. But he looked just like a man. and there was nothing frightening about it whatsoever. And I saw him just as plain as, even more plain than I do when I look at human beings today. He was absolutely perfect, and everything where he was perfect. And I could tell that this world was imperfect, very much so, and it didn't dawn on me as much as it does now after I saw what heaven looks like. Just one small portion of heaven. And Susie saw just like one of these knick-knack shelves in heaven. And she saw the ornate way it looked like the houses there and everything, a place where people dwell. There was like a fruit bowl that looked like fruit. You have ornate fruit in your house. It's not really to eat. But the apples were like big, huge rubies. They had, all of them were very precious stones. And everything was so beautiful that you never wanted to get your eyes off of it, she said. And that's what I saw. I saw Susie and myself there. I saw her, and then I saw myself. And we both looked so good, I didn't want to take my eyes off of me, but then I didn't want to take my eyes off of Susie either. Just the arch of her eyebrow was so artistic, and the way her eyes looked almond-shaped with and beautiful. We both looked like we were maybe 17 years old, but we still had the wisdom of God and power. I saw myself walking, and I was afraid of the way I was walking because it looked so powerful, and I sort of looked arrogant that I was there and that you can't get me out of there. There's no way that anyone can harm you, and you have this godly arrogance of that you are like him. And I was walking. It looked like a beautiful animated cartoon. You can hear sirens here. I guess you know that I'm in San Francisco, California right now. And, you know, we get around, we Christians, you know. The Lord wants us to, he sent us in here over to Sodom and Gomorrah. What a beautiful city. And Sausalito and all the other things around here. The little cable cars that reach up to the stars, all these different things here. But we do have sirens here, and I've even heard them in Falk and Los Angeles. We have sirens over there. We're in the world, and you won't hear any of these things over there in heaven. None whatsoever. So the main thing is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, you know, he was dead, and he resurrected from the dead. And in his victory over sin, Satan, the world, and his victory over death, Jesus established his credentials, not only as King of Kings, but as the power that he has and authority over everything, over all evil. Now, if you were a Christian, there would be no desire for you to drive anyone out of town. If you were a Christian, you would not be saying things about Christians that you've never met before and that you don't know. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be listening to people that are backslidden and have turned themselves over to homosexuality. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be listening to people that are on drugs and that are prostitutes that are selling themselves, that were once Christians and turned their back on the Lord Jesus Christ and are now trampling the blood of Jesus underfoot and putting him out to open shame. You wouldn't be doing these things if you yourself were a Christian. Don't you know what the Lord will do if you don't stop these things? If you were a Christian, you'd have peace and happiness and joy. There wouldn't be any bitterness or trying to destroy people or to bring godly people or attempt to try to bring godly people down to your level, your guttural level. When the Lord, why do that? When the Lord will enter you and pull you up above everything on the face of this earth. We have the power when Jesus is in us. You have the power to be elevated and the power to, Jesus' power to get you into the kingdom of heaven. That's the kind of power we need to be like him. And he says we will be like him when we're in heaven. It will be like him here in this world, or we will not be in the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to be not only like him, but absolutely in him and him in us. This power is available to everyone when we turn our entire lives over to Jesus. Jesus, who is God. So, if we don't have any hope, if we're without hope, we're extremely miserable. And miserable people try to make everybody else miserable. All the people that are here, character assassinating us and trying to run us out of town, you're miserable. You're miserable. And the Lord doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants you to accept him into your heart. Hope is the driving force behind all of our entire being. If we don't have any hope, there would be no possibility of us being able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We must understand who Jesus is, because the understanding of who he is gives each one of us the hope that can transcend over even our deepest despairs. Every one of you out there, you've lost loved ones. There's some of your loved ones that are sick and possibly going to pass on. If you were in the Lord, what the Lord will do is he'll heal. You'll be a great inspiration to those of your loved ones that are sick and on their way to the funeral parlor and to hell in the lake of fire. But if you'll get saved, the Bible promises that you and your house will be saved. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're able to see and hear the message of hope, which is available to every one of us, every one of you that are hearing, if you get saved. Not just a certain class of people. Jesus' resurrection forms the basis of our hope, because in it, God demonstrated his power over death. Death, hell, and the grave. Amen?
Amen.
Well, listen, we have a testimony here, maybe even two of them. Would you like to hear them out there? Well, I hope you do. Here's one of them. All right, go ahead, Michelle.
From St. Louis, Missouri. Dear Tony Alamo, I'm asking for a copy of your booklet, Messiah, and any other reading information you may have available. I would also like the time and station to listen to you on the radio. I am so glad I read your page in the Post paper. You make the word easier to understand. Thank you and bless you. Sincere thanks, Judy from St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, Lord bless you too, Judy, and all of you out there that are responding with your hundreds and even thousands of letters and emails and faxes and your letters and telephone calls. And do you have another one there?
Yes, from Burkina Faso, West Africa.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Alamo, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has permitted me to read one of your newsletters which came my way, blesses me. I am grateful for the pertinent way with which your analysis discloses a ray of light in our world of darkness. Indeed, the devil and his agents plunge Christians into a veritable stupor and lethargy, empty of spiritual meaning, borrowing from pomp and solemnities. Pastor Lamo, your ministry is very beneficial for the millions of souls throughout the entire world. As it is written in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. It is light which arises as the dawn for all those who will be warned." Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8. It is a prophetic ministry averting this wicked and egocentric world to the imminent judgment of God. To the Christians who are spiritually myopic, you are an instrument in the Lord's hands to cause scales to fall from their eyes. You are one of the rare pastors for denouncing the vices, the moral decadence, and the warlike politics of the United States, the leading Christian nation of the world. This bears a close resemblance to Hitler's Third Reich Germany, the veritable precursor of the Antichrist, who brought about unheard of arrogance and horror. When remembering the fateful tragedy of September 11, 2001, my prayer is for the families of those murdered innocent victims who perished without knowing why. Their only fault was that they were in America, a country blessed by God, but against whom the wrath of the Lord is exploding upon. She has become the habitation of demons, a den of every impure spirit, Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, where the drug dealers, the pornographic stars, and homosexuals flaunt their rights and parade themselves in the streets to flout themselves before the Almighty God.
A lot of this is the blame of Christians, or people that say they're Christians. They're not deep in the Lord. And if they were, they would be out there witnessing to them in an effective way to where they wouldn't want to be doing these things. They couldn't do these things. If the Lord is living in you, you won't be able to do those things. And so this is a way that you can tell that the Lord is not living in you. You don't have his life. You haven't taken him as your life. You haven't taken him into your soul, into your spirit. And you're not in his spirit whatsoever. And so you need to take these words from the Lord as a warning that if the breath goes out of you, there's no coming back and saying, "Oh Lord, let me try it again." That doesn't happen. Repentance, salvation, resurrection from your dead evil ways has to happen on this side of eternity, not after you die. It's too late then. After you die, after your spirit goes out of your body, you're going to go where you need to go, where the Lord says you'll go. And he's not going to change the book for you or anyone else or for me, nobody. If the soul that sins shall surely spend eternity in hell, they shall die in hell forever and be tormented there forever. Okay, what else?
It is a principality of spirits and other occult forces slowly draining the nation towards the abyss. In referring to Isaiah chapter 1, I can say, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. America knows nothing but misfortune for the sinful nation which has abandoned the Lord." Pastor Lomo, your ministry is divinely inspired and a veritable appeal to repentance for all humanity. There is no security without the Lord. For when they shall say, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction cometh upon them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. The Lord will continue to bless you for the salvation of souls. I am the founder of a new Christian ministry, Works of Faith International, and would like to associate with your ministry for the distribution of your literature and publications. I ask that you would send Bibles and New Testaments, some audio cassettes, and many of your publications for evangelization campaigns.
Okay, we'll send all that with the exception of the New Testaments. We just give out Old and New Testaments because the Old Testament tells us what's going to happen in the New Testament. And we can't really know how supernatural the Bible is without knowing the Old Testament, so that we can see that the things that the Lord stated would happen in the Old Testament did and is still happening in the New Testament. So I don't advise giving out New Testaments at all, because they have to be well-versed in the Old Testament before you can even understand the New Testament. What is the purpose? Why all these things must be done? Why we must be in the Spirit? Why we must be eating only from the tree of life, which is Christ, the Word of God? So we'll send you the Bibles, and we'd feel honored for you to represent the Lord in your area, and we'll supply you with all the things that you need that we're able to do, for sure, Bibles, literature, and all the other things you mentioned. Okay, and then what else?
In praying for an abundant blessing on your ministry, I ask that you would help me in material for evangelization and financially for my different activities which the Lord has put into your heart. This would be an indispensable help for the work through the distributions and in helping the new converts. May God bless you, Pastor Lomo, for the extension of your great ministry which you direct. Signed, Nawaga from Burkina Faso, West Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. A lot of people say, you know, if God would show me a miracle, if they could only see a miracle, God, if you just do it, I would definitely believe. But what bigger miracle could there be than that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, rose from the dead? It's like they say, if I could see somebody raised from the dead, that doesn't work that way, because there are a lot of people that saw Jesus raised from the dead, and still they persecuted his people, and they're still doing it today. So the word of God is of no effect to these kind of people. If it's the, I know for sure, the Apostle Paul needed a miracle. He needed to see Jesus. I had to have things happen to me because I wouldn't have believed any Christians, because there wasn't anybody in the world that I really trusted enough to believe what they said. But when the thing happened to me in the office in Beverly Hills where the Lord came down and closed my ears off, my natural ears off, and started speaking to me through my hands, my feet, my arms, my chest, my legs. I could hear better in all these members of my body than I ever could from my ears. And then he told me just to stand up on my feet and tell the people in that office that Jesus Christ was coming back to earth again, or that I would surely die. I knew at that point that God threatens people. And so anytime I ever read a book that said God never threatens anybody and God never kills, even the Bible says that I am God. I make alive and I kill. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, and I love and I hate. He said that Esau he hated. Amen?
Amen.
Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And so God, people that don't care anything about the kingdom of heaven or the blessings that go with the kingdom of heaven, they don't care anything about the mercy of God, that God did all these things for us. He sent his only begotten Son into this world. He sent the Word, and he himself came with Jesus. He was living in Christ, the body, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the name of the man that the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was living in. And God went to the cross with him. He said, well, how could that be? Well, God is in me, and God is in every born of the Spirit Christian, but he's still in heaven. So they say, you know, people are so shallow, because they don't want to know. They want to make, they want to mock and scoff. And this won't get you anywhere with the Lord, because you're going to face eternity, and it's going to be soon. 450,000 people are out of their homes in Indonesia. There's something that those people over there are doing that is evil, so evil that God is trying to, in his mercy, teach them a lesson. The tsunamis, the earthquakes, and also these floods. He's going to burn the whole earth up one of these days, and people are going to be extremely sorry that they didn't listen to the word. And God's wouldn't take hold of God's hand of mercy that's stretched out to them and say, Lord, yes, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I want to be saved. We see there are many people that have denied the Lord after they saw him rise from the dead. And before that, they saw him healing everyone in town. He'd go through one town after the other and heal them and raise the dead. And all the miracles that he performed, other than that, I mean, he just one after the other. And look at how God opened the Red Sea. And they're trying to make it look like it was a little swamp that anybody could go through it on their, just walk through it. Well, then why did the entire Egyptian army drown in it? What'd they do? Just get on their hands and knees and stick their nose in the little puddles and breathe it in? Come on, use your head. Amen?
Amen.
We have a denial system that is in us that is absolutely entrenched. But when you read the Word of God and when the miracles happen to people like the Apostle Paul and myself, God will take away your doubts and fears. If you're a Jewish person, God said, all you got to do is pray. If Jesus Christ is the truth, then Lord, show me. And if you're sincere, he'll show you. But if you're a cynic and you have unbelief, that what that does is shuts you off from his transforming power. You'll never be transformed from just a carnal being into a supernatural being. You'll never be transformed if you're a cynic and you are a disbeliever. What you want to do is be like the disciples who stood in awe on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's where Jesus was transfigured into a supernatural being, and he was talking with Moses and Elijah. And wondered what kind of man Jesus was. Jesus was God. God was in him. The Holy Spirit was in him. He became the life-giving spirit. We need the life-giving spirit to live in us in order for us to have eternal life. When you have that kind of openness to receive the Lord, it facilitates your soul, your spirit, your life, to be restored, recovered, to be born again, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and that you may begin going through the process of growing to the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the world to inaugurate his kingdom here on earth. And that's what he's doing through us and other Christians. His complete rule here on this world, however, will only be realized when he returns to this world. His kingdom will be made up of all those of us who, in faith, have tuned out this world and have turned their lives over to Christ and sought to follow him. And so if this is your goal, I see my time is up. If that's what you want to do, is you'd like to tune this wicked world out and tune in to the kingdom of heaven. The way you do that is to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let the sweet chariot of God, the Holy Spirit, enter into your soul. This Holy Spirit is actually God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead bodily will move into your spirit, and you'll feel the magnificent, undeniable, incredible power of God entering into your spirit, and you'll be born again of the Spirit. You'll have everlasting life. You'll have Christ and his Father and the Holy Spirit in you. So we begin to do it this way by saying this prayer to the Lord. And when you do, you'll see you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Just say this prayer to the Lord and accept him. Say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, the sweet chariot of life, the Holy Spirit, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I say unto you, Lord, enter into me. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me. and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Just raise your hands and just keep praising and thanking the Lord, and pick up your King James Version of the Bible, get baptized in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also get baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have to seek the Lord for that, just praising and thanking him, and it'll happen. Share and tell them four different ways they can receive a copy of either an audio tape or the CD. Postage and handling and everything is absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for the continuation of this message. I'm sorry we didn't get to say some of Hitler's speech. I mean, I know a lot of you really enjoy that, to see how that the same things happen to Germany is happening and has happened to the United States. And we need to pull together. I mean, I'm not really into this world at all. But if you want to be strong again and be able to support your young ones, then try to persuade people to get out of the UN. Right now, here's H.B. Barnum's Magnificent Choir. H.B., one of the very best, if not the best arranger on earth, his choir to sing Life Prayer Song. Thank you.